Dismissed. I know you really want to stay, but you have to go. Praise the Lord. Woo! Come on now. Amen. Well, this morning, I'm going to date myself a little bit here. But there's an older movie. It's older now. It came out in 1992. I just looked it up before I came up here, called A Few Good Men. Anybody ever watched the movie A Few Good Men? Yeah? What's the famous line from A Few Good Men? Tom Cruise, Jack Nicholson in the courtroom. That's right. Tom Cruise says, "I want the truth." And Jack Nicholson fires back and says, "You can't handle the truth." I love that movie, and I think it's so indicative of how we are a lot of times. I think we say that we want the truth, but we really can't handle the truth, because the truth is really hard to swallow sometimes. I think that's a saying. There's another saying that says the truth hurts, and why is that? Can you think of a time in your life where someone told you something that you knew was true, but you were like, just told them to whatever, you know? Because you didn't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Sometimes we hear people tell us things and we don't want our life disrupted. We just want to, we think, keep things easy. Let's keep things as they are. And let's just, I don't want to hear that. And yet, I mean, when you read through the Gospels, when you open up literally almost anywhere in the Bible, you are impacted by truth that challenges you. It's like there's no other way around it. Well, there is. You don't read it. That's the only way to get around truth. Because what we know the Bible to be is to be truth. Jesus proclaimed himself to be the way and the truth, not a way to truth, but the truth. Yeah. And so when Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," or "truthfully," everything that came out of his mouth was true. Yeah. And sometimes when you hear the truth, it's like a breath of fresh air. You're like, "Oh, yes, I've been waiting to hear that," or "that makes so much sense." But sometimes when you hear the truth, no. So our Abby, I'm trying to convince her to go on two wheels. I am trying to convince her, not just myself, my wife has also tried, grandpa's tried, trying to convince her that she can do this and that there's a way to do this. And you just have to find your balance. So how we sort of started going down the road was I took off a training wheel. And said, "Okay, now I know that you're going to want to lean on this other wheel that you have here, but if you just stay straight, you can ride your bike just like your sister." But she won't take that on board. She won't believe me. She's like, no, I'll get this, Daddy. And then she makes me feel really bad by saying, "Don't you believe I'm trying?" No, I do, sweetie, I do. I love you, you're awesome, you know, all that sort of stuff. But we have to, at many different points in time in our life, wrestle with the truth. And this morning, I suppose the question I want to ask is, how good are you at that? How are you doing at taking on board truth? How are you at being moldable and shapeable and teachable? Because I've been around for 41 years, and what I've learned is that there's still lots I don't know. I'm still learning. There's still parts of me that are not right. There are still edges that need to be filed off or chipped off, or I don't know, however you want to say that. There's lots I don't know about the Bible, and I've been studying it a long time. You know, like, there's just more. There's always a little bit of feedback. Does anybody else hear that? Can you just turn me down a little bit? Thank you, Matt. So I want to talk this morning about how you handle the truth. Do you think you handle truth well? And I would say, if you're anything like me, I've struggled with it from time to time myself. All right? And God, it's in His wonderful mercy and grace, sends people into our world. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. It could be a wife or a husband or whatever, you know, but God never leaves us in the lurch. You know, even if we're not reading the Bible, He sends somebody else, you know, to help shed light into dark places. But one thing that we read in the Bible is that we should love truth. If there's one thing we should love, it's truth. In fact, in Paul's beautiful explanation and definition of truth, one of the things that love does is it loves when truth wins out. We should celebrate that. And so we should love when truth wins out in our own life or in our headspace, because usually that's where the battle is. It's, you know, we do things a certain way, or we've come to believe things work a certain way, and then the truth comes, and then there's this battle that goes on. But let me define truth for you. Truth is a verified and indisputable fact. All right? For example, 1 + 1 = 2. Right? There's nobody in this room is going to argue that with me, because it's an indisputable fact. You could take it to the bank, count on it every single time. Another indisputable fact is, if I took my phone and I let it go, what 100% of the time will happen to it? It'll fall to the ground. It might not always crack, but the potential is there, but it'll fall. Gravity is an indisputable fact. Those are truths. If we say that we believe the Bible, then what's in the Bible, then we must believe are indisputable facts. Now that is a faith statement. For you to believe in gravity does not take faith. Right? It is. But what God says, to take on board what God says as an indisputable fact, is hard, because that's a faith statement. Now, over time, what I love about what you said this morning, Dave, is over the course of 50 years, what you've come to realize is that it is fact. The more you do and put into practice the things that we believe to be fact and truth, what you will see is God is faithful. The Bible says, God Himself says about Himself that He is faithful. In fact, He says that I cannot be unfaithful. And so, what happens is we're faced with this truth that I've got to, in faith, take on board, even though I can't see it. Even though I can't see the proof of it. And that's hard. It's really, really hard. Some truths are easy to take on board. Some truths are really hard. Here's a truth that a lot of people potentially would struggle with. If I am faithful in my finance and give God what He deserves, I'll be okay financially. Yeah? That's a faith statement, right? Because it seems to defy logic. Okay, I already give away a lot of my money, and God says I have to give away more of my money, but in the end I'm going to come out better? I don't think so, right? It fights against my logic to believe that that's possible. But again, over time, if you are faithful to it, what you will find is that God is able, that God is our provider, that He can do things that are impossible sometimes with our finances. If we will, in faith, believe and trust in what He says is true. And that's a challenge. And so one of the Proverbs that I love, and if you want to highlight it in your Bible, maybe it's not, is Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. And Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6 says, the wounds from a friend can be trusted. but an enemy multiplies kisses. And one of the best things that all of us can do for ourselves is to get good people in our world who will give us truth. Yeah? Even when we don't feel like we want it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's hard. I know that it's hard, but I want to give you some principles about things that I think we all need if we're going to actually take on board truth. If we're going to actually believe a statement like the wounds from a friend are trustworthy. Now, just in case you can't frame that out, why do you think wounds from a friend are trustworthy? All right? Because motive is huge when we're talking about truth. Truth given in the wrong motive can be like an axe meant to wound, maim, and wreck. All right? How do we know this? Well, if you've ever been in a serious relationship or in a marriage, sometimes truth is used as ammunition. Yeah, I know, Dad. I know this hasn't maybe been your experience, but other of us in the room may have had the experience. It's true, all right? What comes out is true, but its intent is not, you raise me up. You know, like, it's to, like, bullets. Right? So truth can be used poorly if the intent is wrong. And so don't trust an enemy that's trying to butter you up, because what they're giving you is not truth. They're stroking your ego. But wounds from a friend, truth from a friend, even though it's like, oh boy, that hurt. That's not in the back. I'm just saying, like, in the side, a pain in the side. It's good. It's good. But there are a few principles that we've got to take into consideration if you're going to be the kind of person that takes truth on board. One is this. The way you perceive yourself matters when it comes to somebody else having permission to talk into your life. And there's a few different issues here. If you're a proud person, nobody knows better than you do. So the chances of you taking something on board are very low. All right? And we sometimes, in our culture, when we praise education and raise things like that up so high, we get into this space where, well, I could learn from someone up here, but I can't learn from people down here. What do you know? Whereas humility would say, anybody can teach me anything. If it's true, I'll take it on board. So my kids teach me things. You know, it's not because they're well-educated, but because some of the stuff that comes out of their mouth is true. And so humility says, okay, I'll take that on board. Pride says, you little whatever year old, what do you know? Get away from me, right? If Peter was struggling with pride when Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, Peter would have said, you know what, Jesus? You know where you can put that? I'm leaving. You hurt my feelings? I'm out. If he was proud, but he knew the motive. He knew that Jesus was out for his best intentions. And so Peter, in whatever he was wrestling with and how he was being shaped, at least he understood that he needed to be teachable. So pride wasn't there. He understood that I have more to grow. And so whatever I can get from Jesus, I'll take on board. Because it's going to be good for me. It won't always feel good for me, though. Right? It's that pinch, that, Oh, yes, come on now. Yeah, oh man, I can't deny that that's true though. And so the way that you perceive yourself, and I'll go even further. Some people perceive themselves very poorly. And all they hear when they hear truth is guilt, shame. That's all they hear. Now, even when that's not your intention, because of the way that they view themselves, and you're just sharing some truth with them, they just go low. And they can't take it on board. It's like getting in the ring, and you just hit me a few rounds. And that's never the intent of our Heavenly Father. His intent is never to just point out fault. And we've seen it. We see it in the life of Jesus Christ over and over and over again. He never focuses on making people feel down. He never focuses on how terrible they are or how weak they are or how faithless they are. He's out for their good. I often think about that moment in the court when it was Jesus and Barabbas, a guilty man and an innocent man. Wouldn't you have stood up for yourself against someone like Barabbas? Wouldn't you have had some emotional kind of a response to say, this guy is an awful, awful person. You're putting me against him and choosing him. But Jesus knew why he was there. Jesus understood what the plan was. Jesus wasn't allowing what the crowd was saying about him to influence him because it wasn't true. And when I know who I am, and I know who I am in God, it doesn't matter what Carrie says about me. Hopefully she's not saying anything bad about me, but it doesn't matter even if she is, because I know who I am in God. I know where I stand with him, and really that's all that matters. And that's the truth. But again, if I haven't let the truth in, then what they say matters. And I take it on board, and I let it fester, all that sort of stuff. And so we must have a healthy version of ourselves, or a healthy vision of ourselves. This is where love is such a profound thing. Love creates an environment where people are highly valued. So one of the geniuses of what Jesus did was he always made someone feel valued before he told them the truth. He just created this space of high value. Because what he wanted those people to know was that they were valued. Even though you weren't making all the right decisions right now, you're still highly valued. I love you. I love you. I love you. Now, in that kind of an environment, it's easier to take truth on board. Right? Because motive. You know the motive. You know that what they're saying is not to destroy you. It's not to remind you of your faults and all that sort of stuff. It's for your good. And love becomes this profound thing that we have all been challenged to portray. But we have to know when we look in the mirror that there's space to grow. And that God can use his word or anybody. The next key in all of this is you have to give people permission to speak into your world. Not everybody. You don't give everybody permission, and please don't give the wrong people permission. Now, what do you mean, give people permission? Well, we should actually ask good questions of people that love us if we want to be better. If we want to be the best version of ourselves for the glory of God, then we got to give people permission to look into our lives and speak into our lives because we trust their motives. All right, so I'm talking about friends. Now, just because someone's a family doesn't make them a friend. Yes? Now, I'm not saying, you don't hate your family or anything like that. But just because other people might perceive, well, that's a logical relationship and you should listen to those people, does not necessarily make them friends. What makes or qualifies this person is that they love you no matter what. And your great actions don't result in their benefit. So they don't benefit from you making good choices. You can make them or not. It doesn't benefit me at all. But I love you too much to not say something. What does it benefit? What did it benefit Jesus to come and change my life? What does he get out of it? Right? He doesn't. We think, you know, sometimes when we are challenged by the truth or God's asking us to do something really hard, it's not for his benefit. God doesn't need me. You know, he's not sitting up there going, oh, I can't wait till Andrew gets here. Oh, you guys are great. But man, I can't wait till Andrew gets here. You know, I'm sure he wants me to be there, of course. I'm not. But he doesn't need us that way. God loves us for our benefit. Jesus died on the cross for our benefit. If we are going to love the way that he loves people, it's for their benefit, not for my benefit. And so we need to invite people into our world, not perfect people because they don't exist, and not people, please don't invite people under the assumption that they're never going to hurt you either, because those people don't exist. But you have to invite people in. People who love you and have permission to say things to you maybe that you won't feel like hearing. Or they'll see blind spots that you can't see. And can I tell you that we all have them? We all have blind spots. Like, you might be traveling real good, you think. But there's this thing over here that you can't see. I can't see my hand right now. But you can. And if you love me, you're going to say something, right? And so we all need people, but this is a permission thing. If I don't give you permission, I'm not listening to you. You can talk to me, but I'm not listening. You've got to welcome them in. I cannot, this is definitely one of the things I tell almost everybody that I spend time with. The more good people you get into your world, the better off you will be. We live in an isolated world. We live in a world where culture will tell you, no, protect yourself, toughen up, da-da-da-da-da. Get good people in your world. They will speak life into you, and they will tell you there's a wall coming. They will maybe help stand in the gap for you. They will protect you. They will look out for your best interests when you're not paying attention. Like, we need these kinds of people in our world, but we've got to trust people enough to let them in and treat them as a friend and even say, you can wound me because I trust you, because I love truth above all else, and I want to walk in truth. It's hard, but it's for our good. The last thing that we need to have if we're going to handle truth or take truth on board is we must really love what is true. And here's how you can see when something is true, is it's a source of freedom. Because truth sets you free. That's one of its proofs, right? So, you know, you can take this into any sphere. Imagine you were in a financial position where you don't have to worry about your payments. Imagine. What do you think you would feel? Relief, comfort, freedom, happy, whatever, freedom. Why? Not because you don't have bills, but because you know that's taken care of. It creates a certain kind of headspace. Let's take that into the spiritual realm. If I know that I'm a sinner, if I know that I'm guilty, if I know that I have shame, that's taking up headspace all the time. In the brokenness of my world. But when I know that that's settled, that's taken care of, then I feel all the same things. Comfort, joy. Because I know that I was guilty, but now I'm free. And this principle you can take into any sphere. I teach and I do a lot of grading of papers. I tell you that you will feel free when you get your paper done before its due date. There's a peace and a joy and all that sort of stuff that comes when it's taken care of and done. And what the Bible tells us is that God has taken care of it. Not only our sin, but the battle too. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? The battle belongs to the Lord. The victory belongs to the Lord. He's already gone before us, right? If we say that this is true, what it does in our heads, what it does in our headspace is it says this is taken care of already. So, I'm free. How I love to proclaim it. Because there's no other feeling like that. There's nowhere else that you can get that anywhere in the world except from the truth that we find in the scriptures. And so that's why people wrote songs, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed me white as snow. Because he took care of it. That's the truth that we should be living in. And the proof of that truth is the freedom that we walk in. So that when we walk into work, when we walk into class, when we walk into school, it's not like this, unless you have a back problem. And not arrogance either, but just a freedom, a joy about us, a peace about us. Not because we got everything figured out, but he does. Amen. And so it's okay. It's okay. I don't get how this whole thing, this tornado is going to work out, but it's going to work out because he goes before me and he's behind me. He prepares a table for me in the midst of my enemies because the battle's not mine anyway. Like it's just this truth thing that we've got to come to terms with and begin to love it. And walk in it. Because what people need to see in us is proof. Yes, the verbal stuff has to be done too, okay? I'm not saying you never speak or anything like that. But what I'm saying is if we're not walking in the truth, in freedom, then I'm not sure I'll buy what you're selling. They need to see it in us. They need to see the hope that Peter talked about. The hope that's in me is because of the freedom that I live in. And that's all because of Jesus. It's all because of I have a loving Heavenly Father who takes care of me. And I trust Him and I trust in His Word. When we can get there in that place, then we can share truth. Did you notice what came first? Me. And getting hold of this in my life first, now I can share truth because I'll have grace for it. And oftentimes we fall into the trap of sharing truth without grace or without love. And one of the things I appreciate so much about the Apostle Paul is the grace in which he dispensed truth. And he would be the first to say, I needed grace. In fact, he penned those words, I needed grace more than all of you. If it were not for the grace of God in my life, even though he was, man, he had chalked up a lot of wins on the board. In fact, he goes as far to say as I've done more than all the other apostles. All right? Like he could back that up. He says it, but it's the grace of God. So when I understand the truth and when I understand that God's taking care of things for me and it's not me and I can't take any credit for it, now I can in grace share the truth in your life. And even being at the Franklin Graham event and hearing Franklin Graham up there, and I just love it. You know, so many people pedestalize people like that, but when he says, you don't know my life, you don't know what I did, you don't know the bad things I've done, but he loved me enough to. Immediately, there's buy-in because people recognize that I'm not saying this from up here. Let me share some truth with you, Carrie, from up here. Lord, I know you're with me more than her. Because I'm closer. But do you understand? Have you ever had someone come off like that in your world? Off of on a pedestal somewhere? Maybe they're not doing it intentionally, but you feel. I don't know. Paul always came from the foot of the cross. Jesus always met with people on their level. And in so doing, said things that most people would be like, you can't say that. You cannot say that. But it was the truth in love. And people embraced it because of the grace with which he dispensed it. And so we have to have this as part of our life because it's truth is, love is what makes truth palatable. Love is what makes this powerful and maybe pinch, maybe really, but I'll take it on board because I know you love me. And as Christians, the next thing that would come out of our mouth could be something like, believe me, I know what this feels like because it was me too. Don't for a moment think I had it all together or that I'm perfect. But if he can do the work in me, he can do the work in you too. That's grace. That's the love of God. That's where we should always be speaking from. And that's proof that the truth has impacted our life. Because that sounds an awful lot like Jesus to me. And that's what people should hear. Right? And so I asked at the beginning, how good do you think you're doing at receiving truth? I just want to speak in a moment like this. I know there are people here who have been hurt. A, by people who profess to love them and wounded them. Every time that happens, it gets hard to give people permission. All right? Because you gave people permission once or twice or three times, but that didn't turn out so good. And so in a space like this, when I'm talking about truth like that, what the enemy will do with that hurt is make you hard. Nowhere in the Bible does it say toughen up. Nowhere does it say get a thick skin. Nowhere are we encouraged to isolate or protect ourselves from people. In fact, Jesus risked it all and paid a heavy price, but he didn't stop risking, did he? And so the win for us as Christians when we get hurt after giving people permission is simply to take that to the Lord, who can heal our hearts, and say, God, I don't want to get callous. I don't want to not love people. I don't want to stop risking. Heal my heart and keep it soft so that I can keep loving. And so I just want to create a space right now to pray for hurt. If you're here this morning and you're hearing this message and you're like, oh, it sounds lovely. I do want to give permission, but everything inside of me is screaming, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. That's hurt, and it will not serve you well. And so I just want to speak to that. I want to believe for healing of that this morning. And so if that's you, just I hope this is a safe space for you. If you just want to put your hand up with every eye closed, I just want to pray for you. If that's you and you've got that kind of hurt in your life and you're very hesitant to let people in, very hesitant. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, God. I just thank you so much, Lord God, that you approach us in love. You want to take us on a journey of transformation and truth and see our lives become amazing, purpose-filled things. But you start as we are. God, I understand that people do use words to hurt, and we've all done it. But God, I pray specifically for those who raise their hand, who are struggling this morning to let people in because they've been hurt by people who love them or profess to love them. God, I can't heal it and my words can't heal it, but I know by the power of your Holy Spirit who's here, you can transform hearts, even in this space. And so, God, we speak healing into hearts right now. God, we pray for a transformative work to take place. I pray against bitterness. And no matter how deep that root is, I pray that it would be torn out right now in this moment. God, I pray for a softening of hearts so that we would be a people that love truth. That we would be a people who actually do have good friends that speak life into us, and we give people permission to do that so that we could edify each other and uplift one another, and when time comes, correct one another. God, soften our hearts. God, I thank you that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to love us where we were at. Thank you that you're still working on us, even though we've made 1,000 mistakes. God, I pray that the truth of the passages that have been shared this morning would resonate in our hearts, and that we would take up the challenge of being transformed, but then coming alongside others, not for our benefit, but for theirs, and with grace. Encourage one another in the things of God and lift one another up. God, continue to change us by your truth. Thank you for moments like this. Thank you for healing, Lord God. And send good people. May we recognize good people when they're in our midst. I believe that the Holy Spirit can give us a discernment for that. That we will recognize the people that God wants us to have in our world. And may we engage in relationship with them. For your glory, Lord God, and for your honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me share this last proverb with you before you go. Proverbs 12, verses 17 to 19. An honest witness tells the truth. A false witness tells lies. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Truth stands the test of time. Lies are soon exposed. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for coming. Don't run away. We have some of the best coffee on the planet right here in Gisborne. Yes.
Andrew, thank you so much. Come on. That's good. We're honest, you. Praise God.